just in this final sermon to actually read the Lord's Prayer and to read it all together corporately as a congregation. The text we have on the screen is taken from the version of the Bible I read, the ESV, the English Standard Version. So it may be a little bit different from how you learnt it, maybe as a child, or you've said it at different times. But I still think it'd be good for us all to read this text together, these words from Matthew chapter 6. So let's read the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now, when I started to plan this series back in the summertime, I looked at the text carefully and I split up into six sections, six sermons that I was going to preach. On the opening day, I stood up in front of you all and said I was going to preach six sermons on the Lord's Prayer. This is actually the 12th sermon, which proves that I'm either really bad at maths or there's a lot more in this short prayer than I first originally thought. There's only 52 words in the Lord's Prayer recorded in Matthew's Gospel. I know I'm bad at maths and I got 6 and 12 wrong. You don't need to count these. Trust me, there are 52 words. 57 in the original Greek, but I didn't think you could read that. Most of you anyway. So there's 52 here on the English. And what we've done over the past 11, 12 weeks is we've taken the Lord's Prayer apart. We've broken it down into small sections, into little phrases, trying to expose the great truths that are here in the Lord's Prayer. But what's been the point of this series? Why have I spent 12 weeks looking through these 52 words? One simple reason. And the simple reason is to help our prayer lives. To help my prayer life, and hopefully to help your prayer lives as well. Because most of us struggle with prayer, don't we? I know I do. Prayer can be a struggle at times. Our prayer life is not what it could be, and it's not often what it should be as well. And after this going through this series, in this final sermon, what I'd like to do, after taking the Lord's Prayer apart in the small chunks, I want to put it all back together again and to look at it as one complete prayer. I want to make this a really practical sermon. I want this sermon to be very helpful to you and something to be a real benefit for your daily prayer life. Those times each day when you set aside, you get alone in a private place, and I trust you do that, that you're people who have a heart and desire to pray. And as you pray to God, that this sermon might be of real practical benefit. Sometimes we struggle what to pray about. We know we should pray, and we sit down to pray, and we don't even know where to start. And sometimes we start, and we just don't know how to continue, and we just don't know what to say next. Some of you have got prayer lists, and those can be very helpful for you to concentrate as you pray. Maybe a list of family members and needs. Maybe missions, Baptist missions. Some of you maybe jotted down some of the things Karen shared with us and Sam prayed for, and you could add that into your prayer list as you pray for missions, as Sam really encouraged us to do during the week. What I'm going to suggest this morning is not really a prayer list, but a framework to help us in our practical daily prayers, a framework that's based here on the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus said these words to the disciples, he actually started in Matthew 6 and verse 9 by saying, pray then like this. So when you pray, he assumed that you do pray, when you pray, pray like this, pray in this manner. And what Jesus has given us in the Lord's Prayer is a model, a great example. Now, as I've said on numerous occasions, we're not tied to these words. We don't need to pray these exact words, although you can pray these words. That's what the early church did. When the early church met, they would have prayed through and they would have said the Lord's Prayer together. This is Scripture, and so it's always beneficial to pray Scripture. But we're not tied to these exact words. We have a freedom. And so what Jesus has given us here in this model prayer is a framework to base our own daily prayers around. Now, some of you are maybe looking at those words thinking, there's something missing. He's left something out. What about those final words that we normally pray when it comes to the Lord's Prayer? Words like this, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Why did Peter not put that on the first screen? Why did he never preach a sermon on those exact words? This is what we know as the doxology. You will find these words in some translations of the Bible. Some of you are maybe sitting with a Bible open this morning, and these words are actually included. You'll not find it in the version I'm reading from, the ESV or the NIV. So how do you explain it? Why do some Bibles include these words and some don't? Well, the reason is we need to go back to the early manuscripts. Okay, the Bible is written in different languages. Languages that we can't speak, and so we need a translation. We need it put into English so that we can read it this morning. But if you go back to the early manuscripts that our translations are based on, you will not find these words. The doxology is not included. You will find it in some manuscripts, later ones, and it's probably best to assume that these words, the final words that we often pray in the Lord's Prayer, were not part of the original scripture. They weren't written by Matthew. It's the originally led by the Holy Spirit, recorded God's words. These words were probably not spoken by Jesus Christ as he taught the disciples how to pray. But what is very clear is these words were used by the early church, recorded. As the early church met, and as they prayed the Lord's Prayer together, they prayed these words at the end. Because this is typical of a Jewish prayer. When Jews prayed, they often finished with words of praise, a doxology. Very similar to how Paul finishes a lot of his prayers as he finishes letters. It's kind of familiar language. And actually these words, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen," is based on scripture. It's based from words, first, that you'll find in 1 Chronicles 29, where it talks about God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory as well. So what I'm saying to you this morning is these words were probably not part of the Bible. They're certainly, the words are biblical. They're not heresy. They're not inappropriate words. They're just tagged on. So there's nothing wrong in the words themselves. They teach us great truths. That's why the early church added them into the Lord's Prayer. But for that reason, I think it's best to be left out of our Bible translations for the sake of accuracy. But I have no problem whatsoever in us praying these words, because these words are truth. And so when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I'm very happy to include these words at the end, because they're biblical truths, the kind of things you would add into your prayer as well. But let's look at the whole of the prayer. It starts with these words, "Our Father in heaven." It's really important as you pray, and as you pray on a daily basis, to remember who you are praying to. We're not praying to a distant God. Who are we praying to? We're not praying to a God who has to be feared. We're praying to a loving Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian here this morning, that's who you're praying to. The reason Jesus Christ came into the world, the reason Jesus Christ died on the cross, was to bring people, people like me, people like you, into a close relationship with God. That's the relationship that we can experience when we pray. And so Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, when he taught people like us to pray, he taught us to pray using the same word that he used to address God. As a son, he spoke about his Father. You see, we're not creatures of a creator, and we're not servants of a master. If you're a Christian here this morning, what are you? You are a child of a loving Heavenly Father. And relationship changes everything. And so when you sit down in your daily prayers, that changes that relationship, that dynamic, and it changes just even your heart as you come in prayer, not in fear, but come as a child, bringing your requests and your thoughts to your loving Heavenly Father. But not only did Jesus teach about prayer in this passage that we have in Matthew 6, he taught about prayer in many different places. And so when it comes to praying, we don't just limit our teaching or our knowledge about prayer to Matthew chapter 6 or Luke's Gospel, where it records the Lord's Prayer as well. As we build up our knowledge about prayer, we need to look at the other things that Jesus taught as well. And in a number of occasions, particularly in John chapter 14, and then in John 15, and John 16 as well, Jesus taught that when we pray, when we ask God for things, we come praying in his name. We ask through the name of Jesus Christ as well. See, Jesus Christ came into this world. He died on the cross. He rose again, and he has ascended to heaven, where he is at the right hand of the Father. And the reason he died and rose again and ascended was to offer us all forgiveness, forgiveness for our sins, and to adopt us into his family. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus died, he rose, he's at the right hand of the Father, And one of his roles there is his interceding for us with his heavenly Father. And so if we come through Christ, we have access to the heavenly Father. It is through Christ, the one who intercedes for us, that we have access to God the Father. And so when we pray, we start by saying, "Our Father in heaven." That's who we pray to. But often, as Christians, in our prayers, we start this way, praying to the Father, but we finish our prayers by praying something like, "In Jesus' name." Or we pray in Jesus' mighty name, or different phrases like that that I would pray as we pray corporately here in church and different people as well. Why do we say those words? Because we're following Jesus' teaching. He taught us to preach in or to pray in his name. Now, praying in Jesus' name is not some secret code. It's not some magic spell like abracadabra. You know, you tag these words on to the end and suddenly your prayers will reach God in heaven. Now, when we add a phrase like that, praying in Jesus' name, we're acknowledging that Jesus is the perfect Son. And he is the perfect Son who has authority, and we come in his authority. And by coming to him and his authority, he gives us access to the Father. And so we pray to the Father, and we pray through Jesus' name. In fact, all the Trinity is involved in the prayer life of a believer. So we pray to the Father, and we pray through the Son, and we pray by the Holy Spirit who helps us and leads us and guides us. Even when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit leads us. And when we pray to the Father, through the Son, by the help of the Holy Spirit, what do we pray for? Well, as we've learned over the past lots of weeks, there are six petitions here in the Lord's Prayer. And these six petitions give us a great structure to base our own daily prayers on. So maybe this morning you're looking for help in your prayer life. Use these six petitions as a structure and a framework. The first petition says, "Hallowed be your name." Maybe you remember from the time I preached the sermon on this, the word hallowed isn't a familiar word. It's not a word we use in everyday life. Really, the word hallowed is a verb. It comes from the word holy. It means to make holy. And so when we pray those words, "Hallowed be your name," we're asking that God's name would be made holy. God's character would be made holy. Now, how is that possible? God cannot become more holy than he already is. God is perfect in holiness. He's perfect in righteousness. So why would we ask for God to be made more holy than he already is, if his holiness is perfect? Really what we're asking, when we pray words like that, is we're asking that God's name would be treated as holy. That we as individuals, that we corporately, as a group of people, would give God all the reverence and all the awe that he deserves. See, we all need to grasp a true vision of who God is. God is great, and God is holy, and God is mighty, and we are small. And so when we come and we pray to the Father and we have that relationship, we've got to remember the difference in the relationship, that God is holy and mighty, and we are weak and sinful. And so when we come in our prayers, we need to start, and this is how it starts in the Lord's Prayer, the first one, by spending time worshiping God. Of adoring him, of giving him all the praise and the glory that he deserves because he is perfect and holy and righteous in every way. We worship God for who he really is. So in your own prayers, do you take time every day in daily prayers to worship God? Or do you dive straight in? Is it straight to my needs? Here's what I need, here's what I want. Or do you spend time giving God all the worship and praise that he alone deserves? Let's start worshiping God in our prayers. Some people think worship is just the songs that we sing on a Sunday morning. That is to limit worship. We can worship God in many ways. And one of the ways we need to worship God is to hallow his name in our prayer lives as well. There's only four words here in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. I'm sure you can think of lots more words to praise and worship God in your prayer life as well. Let's always take the time to worship God in our prayers. But then the Lord's Prayer moves on to talk about God's kingdom. Where is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's where Jesus Christ rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of people. So what are we praying about when we're praying that God's kingdom will come? What do we think about when we come to that line? Well, we're praying for a few different things. We can pray for a few different things. We're praying, first of all, for ourselves. that Jesus Christ will fully reign in our lives, that in our lives we would seek first the kingdom of God. Not our own kingdoms, but we want God to fully reign in our own life. So we pray for ourselves, but we're also praying for others, that the message of the gospel, the message of the King would spread, that people would be drawn into the kingdom of God. And so when you pray that God's kingdom have come, that's a great opportunity to pray for evangelism, to pray for our youth fellowship as they meet tonight. Many of our youth fellowship are Christians, but there's young people who go there who are not Christians. So why not in your daily prayers today, pray for our young people, that some of those young people tonight, as they meet in somebody's house, as they hear an epilogue this evening, would come into God's kingdom, that they would acknowledge Jesus Christ as their King and Savior of their life. Why not pray for our parents and toddlers as they meet on Tuesday morning? Pray that God's kingdom would come into the hearts and lives of parents who come on Tuesday morning, our CB kids on a Monday night, or the baby massage class on Thursday morning. I'm dreading it. I'm having to go and meet all these young babies and hopefully not upset them as I speak to them and share with them on Thursday morning. Why not pray for that? Pray for me as I share the gospel very simply with the parents in that group, and as they hear that families would be drawn into the kingdom of God. Why not start praying for our carol singing? And a few Wednesday nights, Wednesday the 17th, really encourage you to meet with us at the church. We're going to go carol singing. We're going to be carol singing in Northern Court. But we're going to start off by our neighbors across the way here. We've been and visited them recently. We've told them about the building work that's happening here, hoping that there won't be any disruption. But we're also going to go and visit them as we carol sing. I'm going to give them a little gift, invite to the carol service. I'm going to give them a copy of the New Testament and our Christmas tract as well. We want to meet with our neighbors. We want to speak to them. Why not start praying for that? That as we go out carol singing and engage with the neighbors who live in the close vicinity of the church here, that many of them would be drawn into the kingdom as well. As we pray for your kingdom to come, why not pray for the things we've heard about this morning, Baptist missions, working in Spain, and the homework club, and as the members there are witnessing to their family and friends and neighbors, that God's kingdom would come even there in Spain as well. For Tim out in Burkina Faso and the work with Friends in Action. For Cherith and Bradford and the work there with CAP. We're praying that God's kingdom will come through evangelism. So under that little heading, there's lots and lots of things we could pray for in our daily prayers. But there's another aspect to this as well. Because ultimately, we're looking for the day when God's kingdom will come in all its fullness, when God will establish his glorious kingdom. And as Christians, we should be eager for Jesus Christ to come again. The early Christians said, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And that, if we are a true believer, we should have a longing in our heart for Jesus Christ to come again and establish his perfect kingdom. And so we should be eagerly praying for God's kingdom to come. But we should also be praying that people will come into God's kingdom through evangelism and by hearing the gospel and acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Savior and their King. And then the prayer goes on to talk about God's will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying for about in that phrase? And what could we pray about in our daily prayers? We're praying for obedience. See, God has revealed his word to us. His will to us. We find it in Scripture. We know how to live. Do you know what our biggest problem is? Not knowing how to live, but actually living the way God has told us to live. Our biggest problem on a daily basis is obeying. And so we need to pray, your will be done. Help me to be obedient. Help me to do those things that you have taught me to do. Your revealed will, help me to obey it. There's also specific areas of our lives where God hasn't revealed it in Scripture, his hidden will. Maybe you've got big decisions to make. Maybe you're sitting here this morning a little bit anxious about the future. Maybe choices to make, job, relationships, different areas in your life. You need to take time to pray for guidance. And so under this heading, you'd be asking for spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom to make godly decisions. And as children of the Heavenly Father, you're asking God to help you. Help you to obey his will, to obey his way and his plan for your lives as well. And then the prayer moves on to talk about, give us this day our daily bread. As we unpacked that a few weeks ago, we thought that this is really a prayer for our daily basic needs. Who is God? Who is our Father? He's the great provider. He's the one who provides all our basic needs and essentials. But I think this is broader than just the food that we eat. It talks about bread. That's something essential just to keep us alive. There is the whole aspect of food there. But we're really praying just for all the basic needs that we have to live. Maybe you're praying for a job. You need a job so you can buy the food and maybe care for your family. It's a basic need there that you might need to pray for. Maybe it's for home. Maybe it's for shelter. Maybe a basic need is just the health that you need. And so under this heading of just coming to the great provider, asking God to meet your basic daily needs. But we also can do something else when we come to this aspect of the prayer. When God answers our prayers, as he does on a daily basis, do we remember to give thanks that he's provided for our daily needs? We take so much for granted, don't we? Often we fail to ask. We also fail to say thank you as well. So what are your practical needs this morning? What do you need to pray about? What are the things that are in your heart, those things that you need, and you need God's help and provision for them? You need to take time today, maybe you need to take time this week, and to bring these needs before a caring God. Bring them before the great provider. God is the great provider. He's also the great forgiver. And so the prayer says, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Sin is in the life of every one of us. And what does sin do? It spoils our relationship. It spoils our relationship with one another, and it spoils our relationship with God as well. Hands up if you have ever had a day where you didn't sin. Hands up if you ever had a day where you didn't sin. Good, nobody's put their hand up. If you put your hand up, you would have just sinned today because you would have told a lie. Because that's the reality, isn't it? We sin on a daily basis. And that spoils our relationship with God. It spoils our relationship with everybody else. And because we sin on a daily basis, we need to take time on a daily basis and pray, forgive us our debts. We need to confess our sin, and we need to seek forgiveness. Not for salvation if you're a Christian, but for that broken relationship with God and with other people as well. So what's your daily prayer life like? In your daily prayers, do you take time to confess your sin? Do you take time to seek forgiveness and restoration with your Heavenly Father? Maybe go and seek restoration with other people as well. If you start to use the Lord's Prayer as a framework, this will encourage you every day to confess your sin and to seek forgiveness as well. For Christians, we don't want to sin. That shouldn't be our heart's desire. We should have a hatred for sin. But it's hard, isn't it? The reality is we sin on a daily basis because we're in a spiritual battle. So we thought about last week, Satan is real. And Satan is dangerous. And his desire is to destroy us. We have a sinful nature as well, which causes us to fall into temptation and sin. And so it's essential on a daily basis to pray these last words. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, our God, is the great provider. He's the great forgiver. He's also the great deliverer as well. And we should have a desire to live godly lives. What stops us from living godly lives? One thing. It's the sin that we give into. Temptation is great, and we are weak, and so the only one who can help us is somebody who is stronger, somebody who is perfect, and that person is our Heavenly Father. And so every day, let's pray. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer here gives us a great framework. It gives us a great structure for your daily prayers. So why not take this? I'm not saying you have to. This might be a great help in your spiritual life, a great help in your prayer life as well. Take these six petitions and use them as a daily basis for a framework, just to encourage you to pray about lots and lots of different things. Some of you might think, well, what about my family? How about my family? How do they fit into this prayer? What about my church family? How do I include them in this kind of prayer framework? Well, what we need to remember, and we mentioned this in our first sermon, is the Lord's Prayer is all in the plural. You will find no singular pronouns in the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't say, my Father. It doesn't say, forgive me my sins. Okay? Forgive us. Everything is in the plural. So as we pray these things for ourselves, we're also praying them for other people as well. And you can take other people. Maybe it's one of your children. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a member of the church or lots of members of the church. Maybe it's a work colleague. And you can take people and you can pray them through this Lord's Prayer as well. Maybe you're a parent and you've got a child. Why not pray that they would hallow God's name, that in their lives they would worship God and give them all the reverence that he deserves? Maybe you could pray for your child that they would seek first God's kingdom, that God's kingdom would come into their heart and life as well. Maybe they're not a Christian, that Jesus Christ would become their King and Savior as well. Maybe you pray for your children that they would obey God's will in their life. Maybe they've got practical needs, and so you can pray for their practical needs in their life. Maybe ask God to forgive them. Maybe they have no conscious knowledge that they need to be forgiven. You're asking that God would work in their heart and life to see their need for forgiveness. And then we could pray that God would deliver them from temptation, bring them out and away from the evil one as well. See, when you look at this little prayer, all 52 words of it, it covers everything. And it covers everything for anyone, anywhere, at any time. And so we need to be people who base our prayers on the way that Jesus Christ taught his followers to pray. I trust this series has been helpful for you. It's been very helpful for me, very beneficial, even for my own prayer life. And my prayer for you as a congregation, is that we would all follow Jesus Christ's teaching, that we would use the Lord's Prayer as a framework, and we'd all become people who love to pray and come on a daily basis to our loving Heavenly Father. And so as we finish, let's stand together and let's say the Lord's Prayer as we have it on the screen. Let's stand and say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm going to encourage your musicians to come and to lead us in our final song. And as they're coming up, let me just pray for you as a congregation that we would take this prayer and use it in our prayer lives as well. Dear Father, we thank you we can come before you. We have this relationship. You are our loving Heavenly Father. And we pray that as a congregation, we would have a real desire to have that intimate relationship with you through prayer, to speak to you on a regular daily basis, that we would be people who pray without ceasing. Help us to pray. We know we struggle with this. Help us to learn from Christ's teaching. And as we think about Christ's teaching and apply it to our own prayer life, then it would have a real impact and a real help as we pray to you. Bless us and help us in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.